This month, University of Arkansas professor Kathy Comfort republished her 2018 book, Refiguring Les Années Noires, Literary Representations of the Nazi Occupation. Comfort, a professor of French, spoke with Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth recently about revisiting the collection of literary reviews and why the topic feels even more timely for readers today.
So, Dr. Comfort, can you tell me a little bit about your book, Refiguring Les Années Noires, how you came to this topic and why you decided to do this collection?
Actually, I'm a 20th century novel specialist, and I taught a graduate course. I taught one of the books that really interested me, and it was about a first-person novel about a person who had collaborated with the Nazis, and it was written by a person who had been deported to a concentration camp in Germany for being part of the resistance. And it was interesting to me because he took the point of view of a collaborator in his first-person narration, and I just thought it was really interesting. So that's kind of how I got started on it.
Yeah, and I think when we think about the occupation or even about World War II in France, we maybe don't even think about the occupation that much, and especially from some of the perspectives that you explore, like the Roma perspective and then the perspective of the French resistance. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about why you wanted to explore those different perspectives and some that maybe aren't seen very often?
I think for me, it's the more I did research into the memoirs and the novels based on the occupation, I just got interested in the different perspectives that we don't hear about. And as you said, there's a lot of sort of superficial ideas about the resistance and about France under Nazi occupation. And I just was interested in sort of the groups whose voices have been sort of silenced over the years. And the Roma one especially, I was very interested in that because it's not something people have talked about in France. It's only been the last 15 years, pretty much, that people have acknowledged that, that there were internment camps for Roma in southern France.
And what does that conversation look like today as people are starting to talk more about it? And how is it being brought up in French society?
I think that officially, they've recognized it, and I think that there's sort of a, well, obviously a feeling of shame, but it's also tied into sort of the Roma treatment in France today. In certain respects, it's still sort of, they're a marginalized group, and there are a lot of prejudice against them. And I think that sort of just sort of ties into the internment camps. They actually had internment camps during World War I as well, because a lot of the Roma were nomadic people, so they would cross the border between France and Germany. And so a lot of people are afraid that they were spies during World War I. Yeah. So it's a complicated issue, and I think that it's something that the European Union has been working on, and they've made a lot of progress addressing the issues of the prejudice against the Roma.
And then when you were compiling the literature for this book, how did you go about deciding what to choose or maybe what to leave out or what you felt was important to include and why?
I read a lot of primary works, a lot of novels and a lot of memoirs. And I, since I'm a literary critic, basically, I was interested in the way that they portray the occupation and the way that they, the images that they use. For me, that's very interesting. In the case of the Roma novel, Les Septième Filles, he uses sort of an allegory of a folktale, a witch, a Roma, well, they call it a witch in English, but it's from her perspective, and she sort of embodies the Roma people because she's persecuted as well. And for the other ones, one of the threads that I didn't expect to find was the references to Proust and À la recherche du temps perdu. And it makes sense because it was, you know, Proust is such a big figure in literature. But a lot of people did references to Proust, allusions, and sometimes they sort of did a variation on the, especially the famous Madeleine episode. So for me, that was interesting too, the sort of intertextual references.
And then did this, reading all of these and then compiling it and doing the reviews, Did it change your perspective on the occupation in France at the time?
Yeah, because I think I had never really thought about the average person's experience. You always think of black and white, Nazi versus resistance. And reading the resistance memoirs are really interesting. But it's also interesting to read about the people who collaborated. And especially I was interested in the children of collaborators who wrote their memoirs. And one in particular, Le Rivalement de ma mémoire, talks about a woman who's dealing with her father having been a collaborator, and he was assassinated by the resistance when she was 8 years old. And her mother was German, so she had sort of a double problem dealing with it, and only came to terms with it in the late 1960s, so, you know, almost 30 years after the fact.
Can you talk about how that time period and then the literature coming out of it has affected or still plays out in French society today?
Yeah, they're in popular culture, certainly there's a lot of references to the occupation. One of my other research interests is French crime fiction, and they've adapted a lot of the events from the Nazi occupation, like the rounding up of the Jewish population of Paris. So since influenced that, in France, the bande dessinée, the comic, graphic novels, I guess, in English, a lot of them deal with the Nazi occupation and sort of try to delve into the experience of marginalized populations. And there's still movies coming out about the occupation, and more and more they're dealing with the sort of the French reaction to it, because there's a lot of people say that there are more people in the resistance after the war trying to cover up what they did. And the reasons for collaborating were very complex as well. Everybody has a different reason for collaborating. But a lot of times it's just to survive. Films and novels, I think, in contemporary France are starting to deal with those aspects as well.
And when you look at, you know, novels and literature in France today, since that's one of your interests, and how does it differ from English language or sort of mainstream novels that we maybe come to know about more often?
In the United States, I think it's changing a little bit, but I think the French are interested in the individual, and there's a lot less of the sort of heroic narratives that we see in American movies and novels, I think. And I think they really want to capture what it was like, the environment. And, you know, Americans sort of like the heroic war stories, I think.
Yeah. And then for modern audiences and people who maybe are reading the book today, or for some of your students who may read the book, what can they take away from it? What can a modern viewer take away from these stories, this literature?
I think it's interesting to me because there's a lot of issues that are still going on for us. I think immediately of the Afghanistan situation with the U.S. military there in Iraq, but also just sort of the impact that war has on civilian populations. And to me, that's really interesting. I'm interested in the individual stories and giving them a voice. And I think that's sort of something that we forget about. We see on news reports, you know, the attacks and the battles even far away, and we forget about a lot of times the civilian population and how it affects them.
Yeah. And was there one or a couple specific stories that you read that you felt was interesting or significant or unusual, in your opinion, that you came out of this collection with?
I think the ones that I thought were different, the resistance, the woman resistance fighter, the Annie Gaino novel was interesting because she sort of fell into being a part of the resistance. It wasn't really an active thing, but once she was in, she was totally devoted, and she was interrogated by the Nazis for months, the Gestapo. And I thought that was very interesting how she coped with being in prison, being interrogated by the enemy. And also I was also touched by I have a chapter on Charlotte Delbault, who was in the resistance and who was deported to Auschwitz. And she was one of the very few survivors from the convoy that left France. She was a Communist Party member, and so she was a target of that. And for me, it was interesting to see how she told her story in a literary way with allusions to the French classic authors. And she worked with a playwright and was an actress, so she knew the French canon very well for theater. And so she integrated that into her story, and it's sort of a way to distance, I suppose, from the trauma of being in Auschwitz and being surrounded by death.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then for Americans and for, you know, people in Arkansas, for us here, this seems so far removed from our daily life and from what's happening now. And I'm just wondering, you know, what after, because it's a republish, it came out in 2018, mm-hmm. and it's in paperback now.
Mm-hmm.
So after reflecting on it here this year, you know, what can American audiences or people in Arkansas take away from this?
I think it's, for me, I tried to get a diversity of experiences. And for me, it's important to see how other people interpret trauma. Because I think, obviously, everybody has traumatic experiences, but for me, it's how you process the trauma that's important. And I think that it sounds sort of strange, but I think it's sort of comforting to see that people can go through such horrible things and make it through. It's sort of, you know, the human spirit that really touches me, I think. And I think it's important for us to remember the individuals, as I keep going back to that point, but for me it's really important to sort of go beyond the official narrative that the government, especially in France, had for 30 years after the war, and see, dig deeper. I think that's the takeaway, I think, is to, if you're interested in something, to dig deeper. And I think that's something that everybody can take away, and view other people's perspectives.
Yeah. And coming out of, you know, I'm sure you spent a lot of time reflecting on this during the pandemic and having it be republished. Was there anything that changed about it this past year for you, about how you saw it or interpreted the literature?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think a lot of us have experienced the trauma of the pandemic. And I think that, again, it's the individual reaction and how we handle things, how we process the trauma. And I sort of think that there are parallels between living through an occupation, an enemy occupation, and being affected by the pandemic. Yeah, it's all about processing, I think, the trauma.
Right. Yeah. And then moving away from the book a little bit, you work at the university, and mm-hmm. you usually go on the study abroad trips, yes?
Yeah.
So the past 2 years, I guess, you haven't been able to go to France. How has that been, not being able to go back to this place that's so important to your work and to your academic life?
Yeah, it's very frustrating, and I'm sure a lot of people feel the same way, that the travel is just impossible, and it's really not in the foreseeable future.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it's going to be a while before we can, before I can go back to France. But the amazing thing is that a lot of the French resources that I use a lot of archival materials and things from the French National Library, the Bibliothèque Nationale. A lot of those things are online, and I've been working with some of the librarians there who have digitalized some of the things that I need. So it's been really a good experience to sort of make connections that I probably wouldn't have made in person.
Yeah, I guess that is kind of one small perk from all of this.
Yeah.
All right. Was there anything else that you'd like to add or say, or you think people should know?
I don't think so. I think, I think the thing that really is interesting to me, and I think it would be for readers too, is just a sort of individual voice that we don't really see in popular or even historical, popular representations or in historical accounts. Yeah. And to me, I think that's really fascinating.
Right. Thanks for talking to me, Dr. Comfort. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Daniel.
That was University of Arkansas French professor Kathy Comfort speaking with Ozarks at Large's Daniel Carruth about her book, Refiguring Les Années Noires, Literary Representations for the Nazi Occupation. It's now out in paperback from Lexington Books. This is Ozarks at Large.